I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're going to have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, on Friday, he will make an appearance as well. But to start the show, the way it began so many years ago, GP joins us. Gary Perry, CBS and Grind City Media. Gary, how are you?
I am wonderful. It's my pleasure and an honor to be here on this Friday morning.
So I remember that... You know, I remember some of your departures, honestly, and I know that you still resent the commercial feel for not getting you a cake, right? When you left the CIA, you didn't get a cake. But when you left here, didn't you do this? Didn't you have a week? Didn't you do, like, a last show? I dimly recall this. Is that not right?
I did a last show, but I did not announce that it was my last show until literally, like, the last 5 minutes of it. So I
really
never... I did not have a retirement tour. I know that probably runs counter to what everybody assumes about me, that I would want a week of people telling me how much they're going to miss me. But my departure was pretty abrupt. Like, it all came together at Grind City Media rather quickly. And so...
Was it December? Was it like the end of your contract kind of thing? Is that what it was? Was it?
Yeah, it was exactly that. Yeah, contract running out. I had been approached by Grind City Media
before.
Years earlier, and I had decided to stay at 92.9 that time. And then when my contract was expiring again, they approached me again, and it just seemed like the right time to make a move. But there was not like a big buildup to it. I like came back from a break and was like, oh, by the way, everybody, I'm not going to be doing this anymore. It was one of those type of deals.
Well, it's a little different when you're going somewhere else, right? Like you're going somewhere else. Actually, one of the shocking things to me is when I left the CA, and they were so unbelievably gracious, and we were going to a competitor and starting, you know, and they threw a party for us and everything else. But it makes some sense. Now, when Chris left, did he like that was a little testy? Did he have a last show at all? Do you remember?
I think he had a show and then, like, did double birds to everybody in the building and ran out of there. Yeah, his departure was very different than mine. I, like, hugged Brad Carson and told him I wish him well walked out of there. And Vernon's was very different. I left on, the best of terms. There was no party. I still have never been celebrated after
the SEC,
the
NFL.
We're having a little drop in there just for fun. And you've never been your departure has never been celebrated anywhere you've left.
Yeah, I'm gonna work through that in therapy and try to figure out exactly why. Like, what do I do to not make people miss me when I'm leaving? But I'm confident you will be, and I'm glad you've been able to have this week.
So before I get to like wallowing in nostalgia or anything like that, or some predictions from you for the future, I do think there was an unbelievable football game last night. And as you know, Gary, we like to stick to sports here on this show. And so that was absolutely riveting, wasn't it?
Let's just stick to sports.
Everything you could possibly want.
It was awesome. And, you know, like, I am a lifelong Mississippian. And so I never had, like, dreams of going to Ole Miss. Never really had any interest in it. But my wife's a graduate. Our oldest son went there. And so we sort of got wrapped up into this thing. And it did sort of remind me of, like, the absence of this type of run for Tiger basketball. If we're trying to diagnose exactly how it's gone from what it once was to what it is, I think conference affiliation is a part of it. The way the Americans... fallen apart. There's just no good programs in there anymore. But some of it is like kids, people, humans have never seen. There are students at the University of Memphis right now who have never seen Memphis make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And Ole Miss, like Mississippi kids, Ole Miss fans just got to experience the equivalent of that. And I've got to see it up close. Like, I promise you, when this season started, my little boys, they did not know Trinidad Chambliss. They did not know much. but they got wrapped up into this thing, and they would consider themselves Ole Miss football fans right now. And I know it didn't end the way Ole Miss fans wanted it to end. That was but they got that moment. They got this run. They got this experience they had last night, and yeah, just an awesome national semifinal, and I hope we get another one tonight.
Do you think it helps? I mean, obviously, this will be an epic season remembered forever at Ole Miss. Do you think it helps the fact that, I mean, they just ran out of time? Like, does that help or does it make it hurt? Like, it was Trinidad Chambliss in the fourth quarter, it just looked easy. Like, they weren't stopping him. They were not stopping him. And with 18 seconds left, they nearly won the damn thing. Does that help or not? If you're an Ole Miss fan and you're making sense of all of this.
I don't know. I think you know, bigger than that. Like, we were in it. We had a shot. Like, if I were an Ole Miss fan trying to walk through this, talk through this, it would be, you know, we were in it. We had a shot. It didn't go our way. Most people assumed it wouldn't, but wow, we were in the Final Four of the college football tournament. You know, we don't really think of football that way still. You know, the way we celebrate Final Four banners in basketball and hang them and revisit them. We don't think of college football that way, but Ole Miss was in the Final Four last night. Like, that's a thing that will be remembered and celebrated forever. And yeah, just you know, one more catch here, one more run there, and they could have been playing for a national championship. That team, I know Lane Kiffin apparently didn't think it was good enough to do the whole thing, but it was. It didn't get it accomplished, but that team last night, those men last night, they could have won a national championship.
Right. They absolutely could have. I think one of the interesting questions is, you know, for Memphis, part of the pain of that Final Four thing is like, it's hard to imagine getting back there right now, right? For Ole Miss, you can imagine it. Like, they will be in position to do it, but it is so hard now because everyone is spending money. You know, how do you square that? Do you think, okay, we're just going to be right back there, or do you think this is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing that slipped through our fingers?
It is probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but it doesn't have to be. You know, at the power conference level, almost without exception, if you care about a sport and prioritize it, if you've got the right coach and the right resources, you can be good. Now, we're already seeing that a lot of schools are just not going to pay attention to the rules as they are currently written and interpreted. Like, you know, LSU is making big NIL offers to players right now in ways that are, based on the way the rules are written, clearly in violation. And so that's among the reasons Lane Kiffin wanted to leave, because he thought that there was more money to spend on players somewhere else. So it's still very unclear how all of this is going to work. But in theory, the playing field at the power conference level among SEC schools should, if the rules are upheld, be more balanced than I don't want to say they've ever been. But, you know, rule breaking has been going on forever. You know, people have been paying players forever. Now everybody can do it. And so that's how you end up with Indiana as a one seed in a tournament, because the Ohio States and the Michigans don't necessarily have these massive advantages over an Indiana that used to exist. And so we'll see where it goes from here. But, you know, right now, if I'm in a power conference and I feel like I've got the right coach, and who knows if Ole Miss has the right coach, but if I feel like I've got the right guy, I don't see any reason why I can't keep competing, at the very least competing for things like this.
Last thing on this question, you're talking about the general state of college sports. It's interesting because on the one hand, it's never been better. Football, right, has never been more compelling than it is right now, at least to my mind. On the other hand, I think we can acknowledge it's also awfully messy, right? And seems unworkable over the long haul. When we used to be partners on this show, we both sort of would agree, I think, that in the end the answer was to call them employees and have a collective bargaining agreement which establishes rules, et cetera, et cetera. It is, I will say, I have talked to college administrators who talk about some of the incredible difficulties of that, including the fact that you probably have to have tennis players be employees and softball players be employees. And is that still your solution?
It's obviously more complicated than we can make it out to be on radio. But my solution at this point, because no matter what I were to say right now, there'd be a smart person in this space who disagrees with it. I've heard, in, you know, incredibly accomplished attorneys, you know, mention collective bargaining as the solution and getting a CBA in place. And then just as quickly as they say that, there are other smart attorneys who say, yeah, but that's not going to work. So I'm not going to pretend to know exactly how we get to a better place. But what I would do is this. Get Greg Sankey. Get the Big Ten commissioner. Get all the people in college athletics with the power to change it into a room. And then get the attorneys who understand what would hold up legally and what wouldn't in this space. Get them into the same room and let's start talking. There's a better way to do all of this. We're not in a place where college sports is ruined. That gets thrown out all the time. And then you look at the stadiums and you look at the television ratings and there's no evidence to support it. We're still going to these games. We're still watching these games. We're still loving what we're doing. But there's a cleaner and better way to do it. So just get all the smart people with power into a room with attorneys and figure it out. I don't know the solution, but I know that we're going to have to come up with one at some point because the way they're doing it right now, it's not killing anything, but it is, you know, to borrow a word that everybody's used, it's undeniably messy.
Yeah. All right. Onward we go. It's funny when I was thinking about this show, obviously, we started in, I went back and I saw there was a piece in the flyer. This is the only way I knew this date. When I left George and started with you and went to whatever that AM station was, 730, I think, whatever.
That's right. AM 730.
AM 730. That was 2004. That was the Jeff and Gary show. We did that until they ran out of money. And then we tried to sell our own sponsorships, and that was a complete disaster because we're not good at that kind of thing. And then we came over here, and it was the Gary Parrish show with Jeff Calkins, and of course I was on at 5 o'clock with you every single day. I was thinking about playing the St. Crispin's Day speech that sparked our fight in San Antonio that one day, you know, as a walk off a little bit. But when you think about that era of your radio career, I remember, I think, maybe as vividly as anything, the time that my water heater exploded and I was on the air and all of a sudden just started dropping F-bombs. A lot of people remember fondly Harvard Horn Lake trivia, which you hated at the end. What sticks out to you?
I had no idea what I was doing, but if you would have asked me at the time, I would have been, I'm certain I would have been very confident. I knew exactly what I was doing. But looking back on it, like people will bring up things to me sometimes and it means a lot to me. Like it makes me smile, but I don't know that if I listened to my early shows or our early shows that I
like
would,
them. Right.
No, I would cringe probably. I'm not the same person at this age that I was at that age. But what I remember and cherish most is that, you know, you and I, like, forget the concept of the show. Like, when just you and I were in the studio together or on the phone together, we mostly just talked. Sometimes it was very intentional. We've got to talk about the Tigers. We've got to talk about the Grizzlies. We've got to talk about this or that. But often it was just like, and Jeff Calkins is here now. What's up? And we would just start. And I remember somebody, you know, it's sort of framing it this way. It sounds like you guys aren't on radio. It sounds like you're just talking and we're just happening to like listening to it, but you don't even know that we're listening to it. And again, that was never intentional, but I like that that's the way it came across because we were just two people, you know, having a conversation about literally anything. And that conversation could go wherever it goes. And for one reason or another that I don't guess I've ever taken any time to try to figure out, but for one reason or another, people seem to enjoy that. And I'm not exaggerating to the extent anybody ever bothers to introduce themselves to me and say that they've listened to anything I've ever said, they often bring up something that was said between you and I, which, you know, that's fun.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, since I announced I was stepping away Sunday, yeah, people say lots of nice things the way they do. Some people, honestly, say good riddance. Like, there's a lot of that, too. And that's part of it. Listen, I say harsh things about people or critical things about people on the air, so that's all fine, too. Everyone isn't for everyone. But it is interesting because this week, as much as I've heard anything, I have heard, boy, I really loved it when you were on with GP. Like that was a that was a moment in time, but it was an awfully fun segment. I mean, the Johnny Depp trial happened in the midst of that. Like, you would spend hours on the Johnny Depp trial. That was, was it a trial? Was that what was happening with Johnny Depp?
Yes. Yeah, like, you know, we would talk about anything that interests us and anything that made us laugh or made us think. And, I mean, it could be, like, the most serious topic or the absolute dumbest one in the world. And it could be on back-to-back days. We could go from one to the other. And so, yeah, like, I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and I handed my credit card to the server. And when she brought it back, she said, "Hey, are you?" That she noticed the name on the credit card, and she was like, "Are you that guy?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I used to listen to you," and this is sort of, you know, a reminder of how long we've been doing this. But like, my dad would pick me up from school, and I would jump into the car with him, and you were the voice. You know, that's what we heard. It was you every time. And you know, her dad had just passed, and you know, in some ways, her memory of her dad was connected to you and I talking about whatever in the world we were talking about. And you know, I don't take that for granted. Like, that means something to me. You know, the idea that in my hometown, that's another part of this. Like, I grew up here. In my hometown, you and I were able to be the, like, quite literally the first people who ever, talked sports on a big FM signal in the city. And that there's a woman out there and a man out there who grew up listening to us and who connect memories to things that we said or things that we did. Like, that's a, you know, when I think about things that we've accomplished and that I'm proud of, that's certainly pretty high on the list.
Yeah, that's the humbling part of it. Someone wrote me earlier, I mentioned this before, and said, "I found out my grandmother listened to your show, and I listened to your show, and it was something that brought us closer because we could talk." Just the idea that you're invited into people's lives, it's really pretty humbling. And you still are over at Grind City Media. You don't now sit in the dark, though. You can't sit in the dark. How much of an adjustment has it been not sitting in the dark, Gary?
It was never that big of an adjustment. Like, I could do it because I do sit in a television studio.
That's true.
With very
That's
bright
true.
Light
that is
not.
True. Yeah.
But I prefer being in the dark, whether I'm whether I'm at home by myself or at home with a lot of people. Like, I'm constantly still, one of the struggles I have with my children is like, "Are you done in that room? Turn that light off." And it's not necessarily about an electricity bill. It's just about, I prefer it to, I don't know. That's something else I'm going to have to talk to the therapist about. Why do I prefer being in the dark? So I did sit in that same studio you're in right now every day for 2 hours.
In the total, whether in the total
it was
darkness.
Carpet or bit of total darkness. Like, you would look in there and think nobody was in there. In fact, like the janitors, house cleaners would often
come barging in. They wouldn't know anyone would be here. Yeah.
I'm like sitting there talking about the most serious basketball game in the history of the sport, and like, they're just coming in there to empty the garbage can because they don't think anybody's in there because it's total dark. I've adjusted. I turn the lights on every day now. But if we didn't have to be on video, I would turn them off.
It is funny thinking about some of this stuff early on. I actually remember the very first show when you – it used to be the Jeff and Gary, we were both in the studio. Then it was the Gary Parrish Show with Jeff Calkins. So you drove it by. I remember that day. I remember how nervous you were heading into that. Like, how did it go? Whatever. And it went fine. It went fine. And it only got better from there. Is, by the way, like, what's the, now you guys do a lot of video. Right. And it is interesting to me. Like, every podcast is videoed also. Right. Even at the Daily Memphis now, they're going to start doing every podcast is video. When you consume a podcast, do you watch video? I know everyone doesn't. And obviously it's the thing to do. Why? Besides the clips, I guess it's just the clips.
It's the clips. And there's money to be made on YouTube. Like, YouTube is
big.
Like,
yeah.
My salary gets paid on YouTube, I think. Like, at this point, I think I could go to CBS and say, "I never want to type another word." And they would say, "Will you still be on YouTube?" And I'll be like, "Sure." And they'll say,
"Okay." Do you consume a podcast ever by watching it, though?
Sometimes, absolutely. If I'm at home or like on a plane, I'll do it that way. But like, I'll listen to, you know, replays of your show or you in Harrington, and I do that obviously on the Odyssey app, and that's no video component to it. So I consume it in a variety of ways. But now, if you're going like the business 100%. From a business perspective, if you're going to be talking at all, you need to have a camera on your face.
All right. Last things. In terms of the world of sports, I'm not going to be here to talk about it. So let's, I want to get you on the record for the few things before I let you go. One is, we'll start with Penny. You and I both lobbied hard for, then it was David Rudd, to dismiss Tubby Smith and hire Penny Hardaway. It has not gone the way Penny Hardaway hoped it would, or anyone hoped it would. Let's be honest. There's been some successes along the way, and obviously the world has changed along the way. Do you think he's going to be the coach here next year, this time?
If he makes the NCAA tournament, yes. If not, I think it's very up in the air. And at this point, you know, making the NCAA tournament is going to require him almost certainly to win the conference tournament. So we'll see. But, you know, I wrote a column a few years ago when it got just like super, super duper messy. And this is hilarious and perfect for the final Jeff Hawkins show. I am getting pulled over by the Memphis police.
You are not.
I swear
no.
to God on my life.
This has happened before. GP, go. Oh, my so God. Hey, comply. Comply. You don't want to get
in.
You got to comply.
I've been watching the news. I know
exactly what happened. Comply, man. Don't try to flee. Yeah,
I am not doing anything. My hands are in the air. What a moment.
Get out of here. Thanks, man. Hey, Holy smokes.
This is a pretty creative
way. What an ending. Thanks, GP, for negotiating that for us. There goes Gary Parrish. Oh, my God.
A pretty creative way to get out of having to go on the record about the future of Penny Hardaway.
Thanks, GP. See you, man.
All right. I'm gonna roll my window down and find out what law I've broken.
All right, this is fantastic. Bye-bye. GP is literally getting arrested as we speak. This had happened before. Gary has been arrested or maybe I have been.
You were definitely pulled over.
And then Dave Yeager was pulled over.
Correct. Yes.
This is back in the day. There was a day, by the way. You may find this hard to believe. There was a day when you could talk to Grizzly coaches and staff members.
And players occasionally?
And players occasionally. This was at a time when the Grizzlies thought it was important to be connected to the community. And so, if you wanted to talk to Dave Yeager, yes, you could do the lectern, but you could put in a request, or honestly, you call Dave Yeager and talk to Dave Yeager. And if there was an assistant who had a heartwarming story about one thing or another, you could talk to that assistant. Or, yeah, I had Dylan Brooks. Remember we had Dylan Brooks on the air?
Of course.
I forgot what you were talking to Dylan Brooks about, but I think food. I think we talked to Dylan about some. I think it was chips.
Wasn't it like?
It was curry. No. Well, anyway, yeah. So this was a different time when the Grizzlies considered it part of their obligation to actually talk to the community, and so Dave Yeager was driving in from Millington, where he lived, and got pulled over. So this has happened before, and then there were many times when I would do the show. This was when I had the Nissan minivan, and the gas gauge broke.
Mm-hmm.
There were at least two or three times, I would venture to say three, when I was on with Gary in the 5 o'clock segment, and I ran out of gas. And so people would then call Gary, say they'd seen me on the side of the road, kind of thing. Like it was a total mess.
We have an update.
This is fitting,
For what Gary was pulled over for.
What for?
Being on his cell phone.
Oh, my God.
I did say he was guilty of that.
Oh, my God. He was pulled over. He should have been on Bluetooth.
Well,
is he gonna get a ticket?
Actually,
is this going to cost him?
Legally speaking, you are correct. He should have been on Bluetooth. From a radio producer perspective, I appreciate that he wasn't, because the audio always sounds so much better when you're actually on your phone.
Oh, my God. All right, GP, the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. GP, back on the Jeff Hawkins Show. We're going to talk to John Martin when we return. We got Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Friday, and more. It's possible we'll take some calls. I feel a little awkward about that, but maybe. It's the last day. 92.9 FM ESPN. So thanks to the folks at O'Call. And again, semi-annual sale is ongoing. Joined now by John Martin. John Martin and I. So, John, what year was it?
2013.
I was doing the GP show, but I'd taken a, I wasn't doing daily my own show, and they gave me my own show. How well did we know each other at the time?
Oh, we knew each other pretty well. I mean, because, not like we do now.
But because you had famously on Facebook had written, you'd pestered me.
Yeah.
You'd sent, it was Facebook Messenger,
it was,
wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Pet
message after, hey, Mr. Calkins, I'm so-and-so, whatever. And didn't we meet at that place over by Malco for lunch, the McAllister's?
Yeah.
We
wow.
met.
I don't remember the spot, but
we
yeah.
We met at McAllister's for lunch. That's the first time I ever met you. And you wanted to do, what? How old would you have been? You were in college
I probably would have been 19.
College?
Yeah.
And,
Freshman or sophomore.
And then you started, and you started doing this reporting stuff.
Yeah.
And somewhere along there, you broke the Fuente news.
Yeah, that was when, that scout, yep.
So, but how did it come to pass that, because you hadn't done, had you done radio? Had you done as a guest?
I had been on with GP.
As a guest?
He had me on weekly. Because I was breaking news.
Right. So he had you on weekly.
Yeah.
And I recall this moment when I said, if you're going to give me a show. First I said I wanted a co-host.
You wanted to do your own show because you needed money.
And I said, that's true. Like, I'm a journalist, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And
so I also said to Dan Barron, I would like a co-host. And Dan Barron said no.
Right.
Right? Barron, I give him, Dan and Brad, incredible foresight for creating this station. Like, they've done, and they did a great job. They've done a great job. Dan also believed in the bottom line. And he said, no, you can't have a co-host. Really, you'd be better. Just you. You know, just, people just want to hear from you.
right.
You know? So I said, well, okay, there's this kid I'll have as my producer. And that's when the thing nearly fell apart, because how much was it, an hour?
Well, he didn't even want to hire me in the first place.
Right.
He had another person in mind that I think went to Alabama or something.
Okay.
And then when you eventually got him on board with hiring me.
Mm-hmm. $10 an hour?
It was $10 an hour. Ben Hogan was getting 4 hours a day, though. And when I told you I had a meeting with Dan, he said, let's do 3 hours a day.
Right.
And I came back to you and I said, hey, Ben Hogan's getting four, but they're only giving me three.
Well, and also, I wanted you to be working hard booking guests.
Right, right.
Little did I know that you weren't going to work hard anyway, no matter what.
The like, great ruse.
I'm sorry I fought for you for that. So, the whole thing fell apart. Dan and I yelled at each other, hung up the phone over your freaking fourth hour for $10 an hour. It fell apart.
Like, and why would you not give me a fourth hour when you were giving it to Hogan?
Because he had his, I mean, it's true. Like, this station partly flourished because he had his, you know, eye on the bottom line. And Gary had to intercede.
And yes, he did.
Gary had to intercede.
Gary is actually how I found out I was doing the show.
Oh, really?
I will literally never forget. It was, I say this genuinely. It was one of the greatest memories of my life. I become the first college graduate in my family.
Uh-huh.
My entire extended family.
Uh-huh.
And I get off that stage, and the first text I get that I see is from Gary texting me saying, hey, man, they're going to give you that fourth hour.
And you became overcome with joy?
And I was like, yeah, because I didn't really know. I mean, I was working at the CA. I was doing freelance. I was the recruiting report at the CA, you know, making no money. And so this doubled my salary.
Right.
This literally doubled my, so I was like, I'm not making any money still, but I'm making double. So as a kid getting out of college, not knowing what the hell they're going to do the next day, I knew what I was going to do the next day. I'm like, all right, I got a chip and a chair. I'm working with my man Jeff Calkins every day. I got a chance.
Unbelievable. And so, all right. So in terms of some of the highlights when you were my producer, there was the mistaken identity. Tell the people the story, John.
Well, obviously, as you guys know, Jeff is...
John wasn't the best producer. Jeffrey, best producer.
Best producer.
John?
Well, if that's the, if it's and, a binary and a, choice.
And a great co-host as well.
Great co-host, yeah.
Show rocketed up once we...
I don't think I embraced the producer part
no,
of the show.
No, you did not.
I had a one-track mind, man. I wanted to be a host. Again, this was back, you got to remember, I'm probably 23, 24 years old, so I'm not the most diligent person now. But right. Imagine 12 years ago. And so I have a Mike F in my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, hey Jeff, let's get Mike Freeman on the
Mike
show.
Mike Freeman, NFL reporter.
Covers the NFL.
Covers the NFL, probably for Yahoo then or
yeah, somebody.
Mike
report.
Freeman. Right.
A brother.
Yeah.
African-American guy, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I think we've had him on the show.
It's really
so
good.
I had the text history. I'm like, hey, Mike, hey, man, is it possible that you would come on the show? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, no problem. Just make sure you promote my book. I'm like, all right, I didn't know you had a book, but sir, we'll do it.
Right.
So anyway, we call him the next day. Get ready to get him on the phone.
I'm ready to have Mike Freeman on.
And you have this entire amazing intro for Mike Freeman. I mean, he's just the greatest NFL journalist you've ever heard of. I mean, he's just the best. And you get there like, hey, Mike Freeman, how you doing? Click.
Click. Click.
And then here's what we find out. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk puts out a tweet.
Yes, he does.
And he blasts you. He says, the 92.9 host...
Didn't even know me from Mike Florio. Mike Florio from Mike Freeman.
He doesn't have a clue. The Memphis radio host doesn't have
John.
A clue.
This is, John, you know, the producer's supposed to make the host look good.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly right.
No,
that's how that
I did
played
the opposite
out.
Usually.
Then there was the time. Do you remember Michael Sam?
Oh, I remember.
You remember Michael Sam.
You're an activist.
What? How did that transpire?
It was very simple. We were talking about Michael Sam, and you said, Michael Gay is having a...
I said Michael Gay. And then
your recovery was...
It was so brilliant.
You're like, I was doing a psychology experiment.
I was explaining that
this is
people,
how people see him.
They see him as gay. That's all they see of him. He's a man. He's a football player. He's accomplished. And yet...
That's right.
The reason I said Michael Gay was that... All you see of him
shame
on you.
That's right.
Society for conflating him purely 100% with his sexuality. We are multifaceted people here.
That was 2014. Very brave of you back
then. Yeah, exactly right.
Those were some of the, I mean, the highlight, you know, you ripped my hat off one day when I came in.
One day?
Well, one day specifically, I remember that you stalked.
I was waiting at the door.
Yes.
I was waiting at the door because we were taping someone and... And you were as you would tend to be late.
Yes, yes.
I couldn't believe it.
I wasn't late. I just wasn't early. I wasn't. You said you got to get here 5 minutes early. So if I would show up like at time to record, which again these are good life lessons. You were very within your rights to do that.
So you've educated me on a lot of things. Poly Market, whatever is one of them.
Yep.
Right. By the way, did you see? Is it Poly Market like? Evidently, it was controversy this week because people bet on whether the U.S. was going to invade Venezuela. And you bet yes, whatever. You put down your money, you bet
right.
yes. And then this happens, and Poly Market isn't paying
right.
for that. Which more controversial, the last play last night or Poly Market, the not no pass interference call on the last play, or Poly Market not paying for the invasion? Wasn't an invasion? Should they have paid out?
I mean, they did enter a sovereign state.
I think it was kind of an invasion.
It wasn't like...
But if you come and leave, is that an invasion?
They Jeff, you missed the biggest controversy on Poly Markets.
Which is
right.
that one?
So this was yesterday. This was sent to me by my California friends. Today's White House press briefing had a 98% chance of running over 65 minutes until Caroline Leavitt abruptly ended it. With seconds to spare.
Yes.
So there's this view that Caroline Leavitt...
She, like, knew the... Right. Like, she knew the line, if you will.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm having conflicting thoughts about the... Is this a net positive for society? Like, the fact that we can on Venezuela.
One of the interesting things is, so someone also bet on whether they were going to grab the guy, right? And made a lot of money.
Maduro, right?
Maduro. Someone made a lot of money on whether they were going to grab the guy. And... What Poly Market or people defending Poly Market said, because this seemed like it's insider trading. Someone jumps in, knew they were going to invade him, makes a whole lot of money, whatever. And in the stock market, you couldn't do that.
Right.
Over at Poly Market, they say all this does is it helps get information out there.
Yeah.
All that's happening here is that insiders are betting like this. It just means we are learning things early because the odds change,
right,
and it's letting us, it's helping the flow of information. That strikes me as BS. Literally, you are capitalizing, enriching yourself on. It seems to me to be fundamentally unfair.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll obviously find out in the years to come. Like, is this incentivizing actions? Like, is this
right.
You know, I don't know. Like I said, if it's a net positive for society that we're able to trade on things like a Greenland invasion or
what were the odds on you crying though today?
95. I think I already technically have.
I was going to ask. This is why I asked.
I mean, I think I did tear up.
You think choked up? You were a little choked up briefly, though.
I haven't cried yet.
I think Polly Market would deny it. Why would you cry?
I've seen no tears, so I'm not cashing that yet.
Why would I cry? Just me thinking about answering that question makes me want to cry.
Why?
Well, you're one of my best friends. And, like, I'm happy. Like, I'm genuinely happy for you that you did this, that, you know, you're going out on your terms, that, you know, you're going to go live your life and obviously still work at the Daily Memphian, but enjoy, you know, your life in a way that, you know, maybe you weren't able to before. Somebody told me way back when I started working with you that you being around Jeff every day the way you are was a cheat code to life. That's the way they put it. And I always, like, agreed. And so, like, every day I know where Jeff is. Like, he's on 92.9 from 9 to 11. And now I'm not going to know where you are from 9 to 11. You know, like, I'm not losing you as a friend.
Right.
But I'm losing, you know, I'm losing that comfort. You know what I mean? That peace of mind. Like, my man is right there every day from 9 to 11. You know, he's coming on before me. And, you know, you're not going to be in my everyday orbit in the same way.
Well, Claire suggested that I let you track me on the phone.
I would love that. That would make me extremely
happy. Claire suggested that I put you, you know, whatever. What's it called there? What do you do?
You just like share your location.
Share my location with you. Yeah, that way you can know where it is.
And the other part, I can only pray that people out there listening have a Jeff Calkins in their life. Because if you weren't in mine, and if you weren't the advocate that you were for me, you didn't have any reason to do anything. You know, I was just a snot-nosed punk. You didn't have any, you didn't know my family. You didn't know. And you really did, despite my, you know, immaturity, despite my, you know, snark. You know, you saw something in me. I don't know what, but you saw something in me that you were going to, you paved the way for basically every opportunity that I have today, whether it was at the CA back in 2012, whether it was here at 92.9, you put a good word for me at the Daily Memphian. You put a good word in for me to get the show when Vernon left. Like, without you, I'm not in this chair right now. I'm not in this. I was right under this radio station's nose every week with Gary Parrish.
Right.
And until you went to them and you said, you got to hire this guy.
Yeah, now in fairness though, I did it because I thought you would help, because you were good.
Well,
like,
no.
In the end, like, do I, it is an interesting thing. Like, one of the interesting things is that when people encounter me in the wild, right, you wonder how, I think some people think of me as standoffish,
right?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because honestly, I am sort of, I assume people don't want to talk to, you know, like, I don't try to impose on people, you know what I mean? And
right.
I think people interpret that as standoffish. And then there are other people like Ben Hogan was our producer when it was me and Gary, and it was kind of a struggling show. And I don't know that I was a support. Like, I think I kind of took it out on Ben Hogan.
Well,
like,
he has such class. He congratulated
you
and everything.
He's been
great. Last day.
Like, Ben, well, Ben has made his own. Ben has flourished in TV.
He got the
like,
hell away from you.
He's like the opposite. And so, I mean, you like to lift people up as you go through life, but it's also, I mean, to be totally transparent, it also is true that that happens most when, it's what I used to say about John Calipari, if your interests align with his interests,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Like, but no, of course, like, and it's been incredible to see. I mean, the notion that when I first met you, if you had an extra 100 bucks, you would spend it on shoes.
Yeah.
There's no question. Yeah. If you had an extra $120, you would spend it on shoes. Now you're maniacal about saving for your 401k.
I mean, that's another
thing.
And
I hate to say that, I think that's growth, you know?
I mean, you also, I didn't know what a 401k meant absolutely nothing. It was just three numbers and a letter to me. Right.
Well, that's the other thing. I also fundamentally believe I've had a good life, and I hope it continues another 40 years and whatever. I was lucky to be born in the house with a family where, you know, like it wasn't just assumed that you went to college. It was assumed that you would go to Harvard. Like, I mean, that was, you know, and I make no bones about it that if I was born in your exact circumstances, and you obviously had a mother, I wouldn't have gone to Harvard. It was crazy. Of course I wouldn't have gone to Harvard. Like, the notion that we think it's just people choose their existences in this world and you can just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, people start in different places with wildly different advantages. And so, honestly, I think you going from where you started to where you are now is more impressive, certainly, than me. I just did what I was expected to do, you know?
Well, I mean, if everybody had your same approach, the world would be a better place.
All right. So it is, I think we've now cashed. I wanted to make sure we cashed for the people who are weeping.
You led the witness, though.
I did, 100%. I also knew the things you wanted to say. So how do you feel about the new time slot?
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to, you know, have a little bit of downtime between, you know, getting off work and entering the Thunderdome.
Right, with the kids. Right.
You know, I've told David, who's here, you know, that I do plan to use some of that time to be more efficient with my work at the Daily Memphian and not make him wait till midnight to read my copy.
Columns, yeah.
You know, so I do think it will be a net positive for just my entire life. I go take a nap, you know, I can go get a little workout in, but, you know. So I think just being the spiritual successor, obviously, with Jason as well, to your show. I came in doing 9 to 11 with you, and it's going to be a very different show.
The nice thing is that obviously I believed in you all along, but like Jason's so good and in a different way than you. Like you guys complement each other and have forged your own relationships. And so it's meaningful to me that honestly, one of the nice things about this is that when I decided to leave, what Brad decided to do with the made everybody happy.
Yeah,
like you and Jason have a great time slot now, and hopefully life will be easier. And you get first crack at news. You know,
yes.
We get the first crack at news. That makes it easier. Jeffrey has been like working a split shift.
Yep.
Comes in here, drops off his kid, 2 hours, goes home, has to come back. Now he has a 3-hour show, and he doesn't have to wear two hats. He's just
exactly.
So Jeffrey has to be thrilled. And then Gabe, instead of working until 7, Gabe gets to go from 3 to 6. So honestly, like the fact that everyone is benefiting, that's why everyone's celebrating around here.
Right.
You know, everyone's celebrating my departure. By the way, I wanted to update on Gary Parrish. We do have an update. Gary was pulled over at the end of our interview with Gary. Well, it's what ended our interview with Gary. He was pulled over by the Memphis police, fittingly, comes on here, and he is the constabulary gets him. He has been ticketed, and he has a court date.
Golly.
He has a court date.
What's the violation?
For being on his cell phone. His court date is February 13th.
I'm honestly shocked that a Memphis police officer pulled somebody over for
a court. Well, they're
maybe the National Guard's got to hold on crime.
You know, we're cracking down. I told him to comply.
That's right.
Turn the car away from Gary, you know, the police officer for fear, you know, whatever. Of course, this is the Memphis police, and they're not going to be acting in such a miserable, murderous
way. I rock with the Memphis police.
Murderous way. So let's get you on the record with a couple sports stuff.
Sure.
Penny Hardaway going to be the head coach this time next year? Gary wouldn't answer that question because he was pulled over.
Right.
He was in the midst of answering that question. Here's what I think Gary was going to say, by the way. I'm interrupting you. Gary started to say, when I asked him the question, he said, if they make the tournament, yes. If they don't, it's up in the air. And then he said, listen, a couple of years ago when he was really struggling, I wrote a column. And I think he was going to say, I wrote a column basically saying it was time for him to move on. Because you remember that column? That's what he basically said.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Right?
I think it was all with all that staff turnover.
And I'm going to complete his thought. I'm just going to guess what he was going to say. And then Penny went out and had a great year and made the tournament. And in the end, you have the opportunity to make your own path. Like, who knows what's going to happen, right? And so far be it from him to say that this is the end for Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
But it's definitely problematic where they are right now. There's no question like that. And if they don't make the tournament, there's going to be some hard conversations. I think.
Yeah, so I do want to remind you. Mm-hmm. This is your last show. It's not mine. Okay? So, you know, I don't get to just ride out here like,
I don't have to answer for what I'm saying.
I'm just going
to
say, nope, he's not going to be the coach. See you in 2020, never. You know? I fundamentally agree with what GP said, though. I mean, I do think, like, at some point, there's calculations that you have to, I mean, I think even a tournament appearance, like, let's just see what it looks like. You know, is it really a situation where they're just treading water at just barely above 500 and they happen to get hot in the conference tournament and win it? Like, I think that is going to – that's not very inspiring. And so you have to take all that into consideration. Is the roster going to have to be overhauled again? The fans is a big problem. The attendance is a big problem. So I do think all of that is going to have to be considered. I don't think it's a guarantee either way is what I would say, win the tournament or not.
How about Ja? Is Ja going to be a Grizzly this time next year?
No.
Is Ja going to be a Grizzly this time 2 months from now?
No.
No!
I'm going to say no. No, I'm less sure of that. But I do think a deadline actually works in the Grizzlies' favor as opposed to not. Because
favor.
Like in terms of value, right? Because there's more urgency from another team. Like, obviously, if a team is trading for Ja Morant or
you have been one of the biggest Ja guys.
Absolutely. This really pains me.
Do you think it's time to move on?
Yes. I mean, I mean, you don't have to be a body language.
He's not
expert.
Playing again tonight, by the way. We haven't, and we've talked.
Everybody keeps holding up this Europe trip. My God, I mean, it's going to be like the greatest, you know, disappointment in human history if he doesn't play in Europe. I think people need to get prepared for that. I mean, he hasn't.
You
played.
Think he'll go to Europe but won't play in Europe?
I mean, I have no reason to believe he will. I mean, he's been questionable, and he's been downgraded, so.
All right. What'd you think of last night's game?
A great game.
Magnificent, right?
I was told Ole Miss can't win a championship. Looks to me like they can win a championship.
They can't now. They're done.
Well, they're done
That's
now.
How it works. That's how
I know
it works.
I know they can't win this year. People tell me that Ole Miss, 2 months
it
ago.
It was a weird game, wasn't it? Like, Miami dominated the game, but there were so many screw-ups. The penalties, the interceptions that they could have had.
Right.
And then Ole Miss looked totally unstoppable at the end.
Yeah.
Totally unstoppable.
I think it's a lesson in that the separation between Ole Miss and LSU in 2026 is not what people perceived it to be.
And Trinidad Chambliss, I think he can be a pro. I mean, he's awesome. He's awesome.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacks in the NFL, so he's going to have a chance.
Jeffrey, you like it when I bring in Jeffrey on our segment, don't you, Jeff?
I love it.
Yeah. Have you changed on Trinidad and being a pro?
No.
Because he was thrown to open guys?
Correct. I mean, he is a phenomenal playmaker. And
isn't he an a more electric? Like, Doug Flutie played in the NFL. He's a more electric Doug Flutie.
Doug was a better thrower.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just watched these throws lately, and I don't see him miss. I don't ever see him miss.
Oh, boy. He had some misses last night. I mean, I'm not.
Late he didn't. He wasn't missing.
Early.
Yeah, early had some misses, yes.
Now, Miami's defense gets to say something about that, too. Mm. And
do you have a gripe on the pass interference? Either of you have a gripe on the pass interference?
He was definitely held the end zone, right?
I mean, he was held, but I also thought...
Like, there's no way. Everyone says he was held.
Can someone give me an example of when they threw a flag on the Hail Mary?
Right.
Like, that's...
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Right. Not unless it's agreed.
I see you ask for one wager that you've placed. How about this coming weekend? One wager you've placed.
I'm on. It's Monday. It's Texans -3.
Monday, Texans. What's your theory?
Just that, you know, the Steelers are off this super emotional game that they probably shouldn't have won anyway, right? With the loop kid missing the field goal from 44 out, and it's the Texans defense that has just been playing better than anybody, and now they get to, you know, tee off on 44-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
What's the Bills line?
It's a pick, basically.
It's a pick. Who would you pick?
I'd probably pick the Jags.
I would definitely pick the Jags.
Cause, no, you should.
You know me. Right.
Yeah.
You know me. I'd pick the Jags.
But I mean, I don't have any conviction about that.
The only thing I resent is, like, I was looking over the ESPN thing, and they said, what would a loss to the Jags do to Josh's legacy? F you. Like, come on. It's F you. He's the only one of these quarterbacks. He's the only one standing in the playoffs because the rest of the team sucks and he's great.
Josh's legacy is that he continuously makes the playoffs and usually wins the division.
He's like LeBron before he went, like LeBron in the Cavs.
Exactly.
When he was, you know what I mean? When he was getting those teams in the, it's ridiculous.
I don't even remember who his point guard was, but it was like Booby Miles.
So, listen, we're going to have Chris next, and then we're going to have Fish on Friday on Tuesday on Friday after that. But while I have you two here, Jeffrey and John here, it has truly been an honor working with both of you. Like, what's the amazing thing about this was you're so unbelievably, you're different. Hey, can we agree with that? You're different as human beings, I think. You both like to wager. You both like to wager.
The tie that binds.
But I could not have possibly done this show without either of you in succession. And the notion that I went from John, handpicked, fought for, whatever, and then, you know, you're worried when you think, what's going to happen next? And in a very different way, like Jeffrey and I have forged, I think, what's been just a fabulous relationship. And I don't know if you heard him yesterday, walk-off win in Righter Than Right trivia yesterday. Have you been celebrated wildly for that across the land, Jeffrey?
I was a little... Listen, if I to say that I wasn't annoyed when I came home and didn't notice balloons or streamers or whatnot.
Oh, we have...